Dad. So thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
We're here to talk about Abigail's Party, which was a smash hit when it opened in 1977. And it's gained almost a cult status since then. Would you agree with that?
Yes, absolutely.
And there have been thousands of productions all around the world. We're lucky to have the show playing with your direction in our 2018 season.
Yes, and it's the first time the company's ever done it, which is exciting.
Very exciting. What do you think makes this play so universally appealing?
I think that the most appealing thing about Abigail's Party is its dissection of class and also, I guess, the kind of sick and twisted things that lie beneath the surface. and also kind of the comedic way that the play does that.
Yeah. That's a great description.
Yeah.
It is a comedy of bad manners. So we have two party hosts, Beverly and Lawrence.
Yep.
And they invite their neighbours round for a booze-soaked evening.
Yeah, booze and cigarettes. It's quite disgusting.
A lot of alcohol in this play.
Yep.
And things go awfully wrong. Can you tell us a little bit about each character?
Sure. So Beverly is the kind of toxic nouveau riche housewife who loves Donna Summer, loves kind of tacky erotic art, is a real kind of manipulative character, but also incredibly sad because, you know, she's trapped in a life that is kind of dull. So she tries to create something exciting and thrilling for herself by having people over. Like, she needs something to occupy her mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what about Lawrence?
Okay, so Lawrence is the kind of polar opposite. He's a workaholic. He is a real snob. He doesn't like disco. He is a Beethoven fan, is obsessed with kind of, you know, classical art. And I guess he's a kind of the biggest example of someone who from the working classes who aspired to be wealthy and kind of secure and has achieved that. But in the end, that kind of almost kills him.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, yes, this play, it comments a lot on class and status, as you've said, and also on the notion of fitting in or keeping up with the Joneses, which is that expression that was tossed around a lot in that era.
Yeah, and Mike Leigh talks about it a lot.
Yes. Yeah. You may have heard this quote, but when the play opened, television playwright and theatre critic Dennis Potter wrote for the Sunday Times, he said that it was a play based on nothing more edifying than rancid disdain, a prolonged jeer twitching with genuine hatred about the dreadful suburban tastes of the dreadful lower middle class. So a scathing review. What do you make of this assessment of the play?
Well, I think if you look back on it now, that's kind of a brilliant assessment of the play and not super critical, because it's actually understanding and drawing on the centre of it. And I think now, in hindsight, we look back on this play and see how rich and brilliant it is to create a world that is so disdainful but also lovable. And I think Mike Leigh retorted to that comment and said, yes, they're archetypes, yes, they're disgusting, but at the centre of it all is truth and a lot of pain, because that's what happens when you come from nothing. So, yeah.
Sure.
I think it's a compliment, weirdly.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, I was going to say they're individually unlikable characters, but you do develop this kind of sympathy and definite empathy for them. But the play sort of unfolds like a bit of a slow-moving car crash.
Yeah, you can actually feel the car getting closer and closer to the body that it's about to hit. It's quite painful. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, whilst it's a slow burn back then, in this particular version, I think we're going to go headfirst into a fast kind of grotesque farcical style with it. But I think, yeah, the whole thing about it that's successful is that it maintains such tension, and you get to really experience the awkwardness of the dinner party, particularly from the guests who are just watching Beverly's toxicity kind of explode.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a painful experience, but joyful to watch.
When did you first fall in love with this script?
I said this is a great story. So Ash Flanders, who was in Byron Cellar for MTC and did Lilith, he's a great friend of mine. And about 8 years ago, we were sitting drinking wine at his apartment. He's like, you have to do this play. And ever since then, and we sort of watched it on YouTube and I fell in love with it, and it's always been in the back of my mind as a work that kind of deals with things that I'm interested in, which is kind of the delusion and fantasy of security and also sexuality as well. I think that's peppered into this work. So, yeah, I guess that's where it started. And then I just thought it would be the perfect piece to work on at the Melbourne Theatre Company. Yeah.
You're the founder of Little Ones Theatre Company, which is a queer theatre collective. They're used to you telling stories through a kind of camp or queer lens.
Yes.
Can we expect something similar with that?
Absolutely. I think, like, what's great about this play is it has the kind of Susan Sontag style of inherent camp. Like, it's not a kind of spoof work. It's not, like, you know, stylistically silly, but it has this kind of heightened theatricality to it that I think we'll definitely be applying to the production, particularly, like, the grotesque.
This will be your main stage directorial debut.
Oh, with Melbourne Theatre Company.
With Melbourne Theatre Company, sorry. But you're not a stranger to the company. You've participated in MTC's Neon Festival with Dangerous Liaisons.
Yes.
And you're currently assistant directing Marion Potts on Diane Viven Rose. What are you looking forward to about taking the reins of your own show at this company?
I think what I'm most excited about is being able to bring my aesthetic and my approach to theatre making to the company, because I think after our experience on Dangerous Liaisons and the love that we got from subscribers and the MTC audience, I just really wanted to share that again and have an opportunity to, have a riot and make a work that speaks both to the heart but also to people's senses of humour. So, yeah, I guess that's the most exciting thing about it.
Fantastic. Mike Lee wrote Abigail's Party as part of a rehearsal process, a 10-week rehearsal workshop, I think it was, and it's had amazing success, as we've discussed. Can you tell us what is unique about your rehearsal room?
What's unique about my rehearsal room? I don't take myself very seriously, so I like to have fun in the rehearsal room. I love to play with music and I love to just experiment with scenes in various ways. Sometimes I'll do something incredibly straight and then I'll just take the piss out of it. And I don't know, I have a playful process and I love working with actors and finding the most ridiculous and kind of theatrically unique ways of presenting moments. The same level of detail and rigour that goes with Mike Lee improvising, I think I apply to how I interpret a play. Yeah.
Great. Well, we can't wait to see it come to life. To finish off, can you tell us, Stephen, who is in this cast?
Can I say who's in this cast? Dan Fredrickson, who is an incredible actor and comedian, and the beautiful Kath Tonkin from Three Little Words, who is a genius and, again, someone I've wanted to work with for a very long time, and beautiful Ben Rigby, who was the first victim in Alien Covenant, will be playing Tony, which is really exciting too. So it's a pretty stellar group.
I think you're going to have a lot of fun.
Yes.
Stephen, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thanks, Sarah.
This podcast is part of the MTC Talk series. To listen to more episodes, visit mtc.com.au or search for MTC Talks in the iTunes Store or on SoundCloud.